we want to bring up Mahdi Bray from the Muslim American Society Freedom Foundation.
In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, we greet you in the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Let me just say very quickly why we're here. We're here to say in a very unambiguous way that we want you, Mr. President, to bring the troops home and do it now. Why are we here today? We're here to say that there's something wrong in a nation where we can spend billions of dollars for a smart bomb on a dumb mission in Iraq, but yet we can't feed the hungry and the homeless right here in America. We're here to say that there's something wrong in America where we can dispatch troops quickly to go to Iraq to bring death and destructions to be killed and be killed, and yet we can leave black folks, poor folks, elderly folks in New Orleans to suffer the ravage of Katrina. Something wrong, and it's something sad about our nation when we live in a time that it takes a hurricane to remind us that we have the poor, the elderly, and the dispossessed. We're here to say also to our nation's leader, how dare you talk about democracy in Iraq while you're unlawfully detaining, profiling, and circumventing the civil rights and the civil liberties of your own American Muslims right here at home. And let me make it plain that we, the Muslim American Society and its Freedom Foundation, we are not standing in line today to wait to speak at and be invited to the White House. I've said it once and I'll say it again. I'm not worried about going to the White House if my brothers and sisters in Palestine can't live and eat in their house. And let me make it even more clearly that we will not compromise the integrity of our faith, nor will we compromise the aspects of our beliefs, nor will we compromise the sovereignty of our citizenship in America. We are not going to be second-class citizens. Our children here are not terrorist suspects, but they are America's brightest prospects. And finally, let me say, I read this document, and I want you to make it very clear, it's the United States Constitution. And in this document, it doesn't say, we, Donald Rumsfeld. It doesn't say we, the industrial military complex. It doesn't say we, George Bush and all of his cronies. It says we, the people, and we, the people who believe in freedom, cannot rest until it comes. We who believe in freedom are going to work together as Muslims, Christians, Jews, and people of all faith persuasion, as black, white, Latinos. We who believe in freedom will not rest until it comes. So let's make it very clear that we today are standing together, shoulder to shoulder, going back home to the heartlands, going back home to the in cities, inner cities, going back home to all of the various different places of America as one people, saying that we, the people, demand justice roll down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. Our next speaker is none other than the president of the Muslim American Society, Dr. Issam Omish.
Peace be upon all. We in the Muslim American Society stand side by side, shoulder by shoulder, with our brothers and sisters. We represent the largest grassroots Muslim organization in the States, chapters across the nation. We speak the voice and conscience of the Muslim community in America, and we say it loud and clear with our brothers and sisters, no, no to war. Bring our troops home. We support our troops and we want them home. My brothers and sisters, we have a different vision for America than the vision that George Bush and the White House have for America. We have a vision for America where we're leading the world, not by force and aggression, but leading the world by resolve and example, where America is prosperous and charitable, not floundering and bankrupt. We have a vision for America where everybody, every religious community, every ethnicity is side by side, building a great America, not the divided America that Bush and his cronies want for us. We have a vision for America where we are a great nation because we cherish freedom and we cherish democracy and we cherish civil liberties, not the America that's turning into a police state, the one that's eroding the very foundations upon our which our country is built. We stand side by side as Muslims, as Americans, and as patriots to make America a better place, to make it a more virtuous and prosperous place, a more just and principled place where freedom is, where faith is over fear and justice for all. Bring the troops home. Bring the troops home and faith over fear and justice for all. Thank you and God bless.
Our next speakers are Munzer Sleeman, Vice Chair of the National Council of Arab Americans, and after him will be Musa Al-Hindi from Al-Wada National.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the largest demonstration against the war. And we Arab Americans, we're calling on our community to open their hearts and pocketbooks and give generously to the victims of Katrina and now Rita. The misplaced priorities of this administration of funding war abroad at the expense of the need of the peoples here, Arab Americans, has been at the receiving end of devastation of war abroad in the Arab and Islamic world and the savagery of the so-called war on terror at home that has fueled hatred, racism, bigotry, and unlawful detention. We live in a virtual concentration camp of fear, harassment, and intimidation. Arab Americans demand and deserve respect. We will not be labeled as suspect. We are not visitors nor tourists in this country. We are an integral part of this society and its cultural fabric. You'll find Arab American in all walks of life. We, like many communities in this nation, have been at the core of making America what it is today. But there has been a deliberate effort to marginalize Arab Americans and exclude them from the national dialogue. We want America to lead in advancing the case of justice and peace and not the America of war, domination, and the illusion of empire building. It is our patriotic duty to dissent and reject the reckless policy of the Bush administration that is harming America and the world through the illusion of a war and through the illegal and immoral war on Iraq. We are Arab Americans. We believe in America that it is at peace with itself and the world. We demand the end of occupation of Iraq, the end of occupation of Palestine. There is no peace without justice. There is no democracy under occupation. Thank you.
I am a Palestinian refugee and I am here to raise the voice of the refugees of Palestine. I'm here to represent Al-Awda, the Palestine Right to Return Coalition. I'm here to give a voice to the tireless determination of the Palestinian refugees to return to their homes and lands in Palestine. The Palestinian people in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip are the vanguard of the Palestinian revolution today. But the people in the refugee camps, in exile, are a strategic depth. It was the refugees who planted and nourished the seeds of the Palestinian revolution. It was the refugees who turned their camps into barriers when the movement and the revolution was attacked and tried to be strangled. Let me put it shortly. Palestine is the refugees, and the refugees are Palestine. I'm here to tell you that the voice of Palestine will never be extinguished, not by the settler colonial state of Israel, nor by any of its apologists in the United States. The world cannot reject racism, but expect the people of Palestine to accept it. Our vision of Palestine is that of a secular, democratic state over the entirety of the land of Palestine, from the river to the sea. The establishment of a democratic Palestinian state would not only allow for the return of the refugees, would also free the Palestinian people under the yoke of occupation, and will free our enemies from their racism. The democratic vision of Palestine that we offer stands in contradiction to the illegitimate, to the racist vision offered and manifested by the Zionist movement through the State of Israel. Long live Palestine, one Arab, indivisible and free from the river to the sea.
Brothers and sisters, this person needs no introduction. You know him. Please meet and greet and get a thunderous rounds of applause for Ralph Nader!
Friends and citizens who have come here on this historic day, September 24th, 2005, to demand that our hijacked government reverse its treacherous and dangerous course in the occupation and war in Iraq, a government hijacked by a small clique of warmongers led by the President and Vice President of the United States. It's important, of course, for all people to realize that you are here representing a reverse of federal government policy over there that is shared by a majority of the American people, and a growing majority, 62% of the American people, now say that the invasion of Iraq was a mistake. Almost 70% say it wasn't worth the price. 60% want out of Iraq. Representing the majority of the American people here is an important asset for you to go back home and organize with a laser-type focus on the U.S. Congress. Already, we are within 100 votes in the House of Representatives passing a resolution demanding that the White House establish an exit strategy. That's 100 votes short. There's a lot of ferment going on in the U.S. Congress that can be accentuated and punctuated by the folks back home when you go there. It's also important to know that this war and occupation in Iraq was the first war in American history, opposed by a majority of retired admirals, generals, intelligence officials, and former diplomats. More than a few of them spoke out when many of us here were trying to stop this invasion of Iraq. Admiral Shanahan spoke out, former head of the Pacific Fleet, retired Marine General Anthony Zinni, spoke out repeatedly, and the Washington Post said his views were shared by most of the military officers. The U.S. Army and the Pentagon was against the invasion of Iraq because they saw no strategic purpose. They saw it would divert attention from focus on pursuing stateless terrorists, that it would get us into a quagmire, and that there would not be enough resources to fulfill even a misguided strategy. The State Department informed George W. Bush that his assertions, which were the rationale for the invasion, were not substantiated. Here is a president who plunged our nation into an unconstitutional and illegal war based on a platform of fabrications, lies, deceptions, and cover-up. George W. Bush must be held accountable under Article 2, Section 4 of the United States Constitution. Our founding fathers provided that the Congress, and the Congress alone, has the authority to fire the president for high crimes and misdemeanors. There has not been a more impeachable president in our country's history. He is and was the perpetrator, the progenitor, the promoter, the purveyor, the prevaricator, and the presider over this illegal criminal war that is jeopardizing our own national security here at home and abroad. When the head of the CIA tells the Senate that the war in Iraq is creating more and more terrorists who will go back skilled to their countries, we should listen. When Walter Jones, Republican from North Carolina, booster of the war, now has turned against the president in no uncertain terms, we should listen. When increasingly Republicans themselves are meeting in the Congress, often with Democrats, to see how they can establish a strategy to get out the war, we should listen. And we should also listen. We should also listen when someone as conservative as Congressman John Duncan, who says that this undeclared and unnecessary war should be opposed, not only because of the deaths, but because there's nothing conservative about a war with its massive deficit spending. I urge you to log in to democracyrising.us, which will keep you current with the increasing turnaround in Congress. I urge you to encourage people to run next year for local, state, and national office on an anti-war, a pro-peace, and pro-justice platform, the way Kevin Zeese is running for the Senate in the state of Maryland. And finally, let there be no mistake that George W. Bush is the leading underminer of the soldiers in Iraq. He has left them to die without adequate armor. He does not count the injuries when they're not in combat, disrespecting the soldiers and their families. And when they come home, he cuts their budget for health care and pharmaceutical products. It's important to note, finally, that all of us have a central responsibility of citizenship here. George W. Bush doesn't speak for America. He doesn't speak for that flag that ends with the allegiance phrase with liberty and justice for all. He doesn't speak for a majority of American people who oppose him. And it's time to make that majority into a powerful political force with a laser beam focus on Washington, D.C. Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, comrades, all of you, we want you to remember we are here as anti-war protesters. A war is being committed in your country against black descendants of slaves who are uneducated and poor. New Orleans cannot be forgotten. There was 150,000 poor black people locked in that city, who was locked down every chance they got to escape, who people were turned away who went to get rid of them, 13 feet below sea level, and a president walked by looking down from airplanes, riding horses, taking his dog to the veterinarian, and 6 days of that shit. So if you are against the war, you must be against the war against black, poor, black, uneducated people. We want to say to you that we thank you for all the food and water and clothes that you have sent. But the time has arrived to honor those people, to honor their voices, to honor their genius, to honor their desires and their hopes and their self-determination. It is your job now to find out what they are asking of you. And I'm going to give you the three things here today. One, we want to go find our people. They are hiding them from us. They've scattered them all over the country. We have 250,000 of them in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We want to knock every one of those doors, talk to them about all this activity, see if they want the space that they left, and if they build a condo on it, it's yours, and if they build a hotel on it, it's yours. Whatever they build on that spot of land that we had to leave, we want it. We are asking... We're asking whatever town you live in to find our people, put it on our webpage, www.communitylabor.net, communitylaborunited.net. Let us know where our people are. If you're a teacher, tell us where the children come from. If you're a social worker, tell us where they come from. If you work for FEMA or the Red Cross, tell us who you know where they are. They say they don't know where our people are. So you know how to knock doors. We need volunteers to knock doors. Number two, we want the labor movement to pay for those door knocking processes. Help us train volunteers to knock those doors. We're going to use the month of October, we think, to knock on every door in Baton Rouge. Number three, we want the unions, the skilled crafts unions, to pay for and to assist in the apprenticeship of our people learning how to build their houses and put their lives back together. We want you, but you must understand that nobody has ever respected the voices of these people. So our number one program is to hear the voices of these people. Thank you. Thank you. Stop the war against black and poor people in America.
Brothers and sisters, in the Haitian struggle, may the struggle live on and may Haiti be free. And now, with a tireless proponent for human rights, in the United States, and for the Palestinian people, from the Los Angeles 8, a prominent Palestinian-American activist, Michel Shehada.
Brothers and sisters, we are all here. We are all together today, united, unified in a noble cause of putting an end to an illegal and unjust war and to bring the troops safe back home. This is an agenda that is worth fighting for. This war was waged on a pack of lies. And when the lies were exposed, that there were no weapons of mass destruction, that there were no relationship between Iraq and Al-Qaeda, that there were no connection between Al-Iraq and 911, the liars changed the lie. The lie now is that they're doing this. They're waging the war and killing Iraqis because they're bringing freedom, human rights, and salvation to Iraq. Do you believe that? Do you believe that one can kill more than 100,000 Iraqis and still can claim that they're bringing them salvation? All George Bush have been talking about after 9/11 is that he's going to protect America, that he's going to make America safe. Today, we're telling Bush that you are a bigger disaster than the war, than Katrina, than Rita, than the dead, all combined together. And George Bush keeps telling us that he communicates with God, that God talks to him, that he's doing God's work. And we're telling him today, George Bush, you are on the opposite side of God. That God doesn't like you, He wants you out. We want you out. So we can start the process of cleansing America and the world from the destruction, from the agony that his policies and lies have brought, and begin the ouster of George Bush from the White House into prison. Let me end by telling you, this is just the beginning. We're not going to end just this war. We're going to end all wars that are not waged in self-defense. We are going to be on the side of justice, not against it, as our government is doing in Palestine. We're going to be on the side of liberation, on the side of the true fighters for democracy, not as oppressors and occupiers in Iraq. So bring the troops home and end the war and impeach George Bush. Thank you.
Now, our next speaker began her vigil in Crawford, Texas in August of this year. Mother specialist Casey Sheehan, co-founder of Gold Star Families for Peace and originator of the Bring Them Home Now bus tour, please welcome to the stage Cindy Sheehan. But you guys people's children are you willing to sacrifice for the lies? And I'm almost done. And we're going to say shame on you. Shame on you for giving him the authority to invade Iraq. And we're going to say not one person should have died. Not one more should die. Can you scream that to the White House? Not one more! Not
one more!
Now, brothers and sisters, I want to introduce from the Fellowship of Reconciliation and Muslim Peace Fellowship an activist extraordinaire, Ibrahim Rimi. Big hand for Ibrahim Rimi.
Assalamu alaikum. In the name of God, most beneficent, most merciful. Look, the rain is coming. Stakes are high and time is very short. We've heard some amazing speeches. You're not going to hear one from me, but I do want to acknowledge our solidarity today with all oppressed people, with all people who struggle nonviolently for social justice, and especially with a brother whom we cannot forget, Imam Jamil Al-Amin, who is in prison unjustly. I need to mention that all political prisoners in the United States must not be forgotten by any of us in any of our movements. Now, the essential task of our movement is to stop the war system. And I want to bring to your consciousness just for a minute the work and the vision of one man that we have not heard about today, and that is Mohandas Gandhi. Gandhi understood that the essential task of stopping injustice lies with non-cooperation with evil. So say it, non-cooperation with evil. And the way that we do not cooperate with evil is that we take energy from systems of oppression and nonviolently transform them into systems of justice, peace, and love. I hold up briefly today a card that says, I will not kill. It is part of a gathering of conscience and courage that we had about 9 months ago in New York that we are now turning into a national movement. IWillNotKill.org is a way for young people all over the world to connect with the idea that stopping war requires them to say no to killing. And when you say no to killing, you say yes to justice, you say yes to peace, you say yes to economic equality, and you say yes to the end of all oppressive systems. So in closing, what I hold up is IWillNotKill.org. It is a website, IWillNotKill.org. It is also a workshop that we will have at 3 o'clock in the counter-recruitment tent. So we want people who see this to relate to the fact that Muslims and Christians and Jews and people of all persuasions can stop the war system by declaring that we will not kill. We will not kill for oil. We will not kill for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. We will not kill for Halliburton, and certainly not for Mr. Bush. I will not kill. I will not kill. I will not kill.
Thank you very much. If we didn't know it now, we certainly know it now. A cruel wind blows across America. Starting in Texas and Montana and sweeping across America's heartland, it settled here in Washington, D.C. And despite our presence today, it continues to buffet and batter the American people. This cruel wind blew disenfranchisement into Florida and Ohio. It blew hard-heartedness into the Capitol, division across our land, and wretchedness in high places. The American people have been forced to endure fraud in the elections of 2000 and 2004. criminal neglect on September 11th. A war started on deliberately faked evidence. The outing of a CIA agent to cover up the truth. And now criminal incompetence in providing our security. When hurricane survivors had lost everything, it was there for all America to see. Sybaritic men wrapped in self-righteousness worked to save their jobs instead of the people. As dead bodies lay strewn about the New Orleans Superdome, military recruiters blew into Houston's Astrodome to reap the harvest. This ill wind that engulfs our country is also global in its impact. It dipped into the Caribbean, hitting Haiti and Cuba. It reached into Latin America to slap Venezuela. It swept death, greed, and destruction across Africa into eastern Congo. And it breathes occupation onto the peoples of Iraq and Palestine. But just as sure as an ill wind now blows, it doesn't have to be so. The people united can stop wars. We can stop injustice and we can stop indifference. The people united can tear down the mightiest walls of oppression. These ill winds have brought us high crimes and more than misdemeanors. But they've also brought us together, one answer, united for peace and justice. Let's stay together because we have to get rid of these ill winds and breathe fresh breath into a new jet stream of life. We can do it, y'all, because they can't fool us anymore. Thank you very much.
He's a Palestinian exile from the city. Come on, guys. It's only a couple more minutes and we're going to march. He's a Palestinian exile from the city of Jaffa. He works with Al Auda, Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin's Divest from Israel campaign. Please welcome to the stage Muhammad Abed.
Not so long ago, people concerned with justice and human rights, people like you, stood in resistance to two systems of oppression, one of them at home and one of them far away. When people are told to go to the back of the bus because they're black, we felt ill and disgusted because racial segregation destroys the concept of humanity at the heart of our most basic values. The civil rights movement in this country worked to pull the roots of oppression clean from the ground. It didn't attempt to replace Jim Crow with a lesser form of oppression. It didn't suggest that racism here is wrong, but racism there is okay. When the apartheid regime in South Africa concentrated blacks into disconnected homelands and turned to the world and said, "This is self-determination, this is freedom," international civil society recognized this as a new form of an age-old ill. Apartheid and segregation are atrocities, irrespective of where they occur and irrespective of who the victims and the perpetrators are. But in recent days, we have been told that by removing its military and colonists from 6% of the territory it controls, the State of Israel has made a historical concession. on the road to peace. No! Few people mentioned that Israel has retained control of Gaza's borders, its airspace, and its seashore. Few people mentioned that the apartheid regime in South Africa had also withdrawn from the new homelands it had created for blacks and reserved the right to arrest, beat, and brutalize them at will. The definition of apartheid is ethnic separation without self-determination for the oppressed group. And this is exactly the system of control that Israel continues to implement in historical Palestine. And it is for sake of consolidating this system that the lie of the Gaza disengagement was born. While the world's attention has been diverted, Israel has continued to build its apartheid wall. It has continued to concentrate Palestinians into Bantustans. Once apartheid-era South Africa did this, the world responded with a comprehensive boycott campaign. At the heart of that campaign were basic principles of justice and human rights. I ask all of you today, if you are concerned with human rights and justice, to join in this boycott and divestment campaign and to work for peace in historical Palestine. Long live Iraq! Long live Palestine!
هذا لا يرضاه مسلم. تنجم والقلب قد تألم أين نحن يا الله
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله
أيها المسلم تكلم فاللسان قد تنجم والقلب قد تألم أين نحن يا الله
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
محمد حبيب الله
لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول